Joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, he is a former Golden Glove champion boxer and actor whose credits include the movie we're talking about today, Blazing Saddles. Burton Gilliam joins us from his home in Dallas. Burton, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm telling you, got the Captown ladies
sing this song, do-da, do-da. Now you,
all the do-da day.
Now are you?
You're gonna get right there. You got to send money for the rest. Of
it. Are you doing the dance as you sing it in your house right now, Burton?
I'm doing the dance. I'm doing all the choreography. Yeah, come on, you be my background music.
Now, Burton, you have the honor of speaking the very first line in this entire movie, this classic that no matter who you talk to, everybody agrees it stands the test of time. When you guys were making this film, and I'm sure you probably did not film it in chronological order like it appeared on screen, but when you were starting to film this movie, did everyone realize just what you had on your hands?
We had no idea. Mel Brooks had no idea. If he was sitting right here with me right now, he would tell you that, listen, Warner Brothers gave me $3 million and told me to go have some fun. And that's what we did. And he had no idea. Of course, he had done two pictures before that, 12 Chairs and what's the other one? It was on Broadway.
The Producers.
The Producers. And neither one of them made any money. So he was just kind of hoping that maybe he'd break even or something, but little did he know.
And so you said that you guys were having a lot of fun on the set. So the actual movie making itself was an absolute blast, huh?
Oh, you know, every time we told a joke, we would or read the line. We all laughed. It was big fun. Everybody on the set laughed. But of course, after you've done it two or three times, you know everything then, and you keep doing the close-ups. And after that, we were thinking, is this funny or is it just kind of silly? But you know, there's a real close line between both of them, and I think we hit funny more times than not.
I totally agree with mm-hmm. that. And Burton, you personally are responsible for a number of the more racially charged lines in this movie. I imagine for you, reading those on a script and then actually having to say those in front of people, there was maybe a little bit of hesitation for you the first time you were spitting those lines out, correct?
I would have to say, you know, I'm born and raised in Dallas, Texas, and I had heard those words and said those words in my life, way back yonder, you know. But boy, when I was having to say it right there in front of Cleavon Little, right straight to him and all the other blacks who were right there, that was a real a game changer for me. That was really hard. After about, I don't know, we had done 6 or 7 takes already. They changed camera angles, and when they did, Cleavon said, "Hey, let's walk out here over the desert." Nobody was. So we walked out there, and he said, "Listen, here's the deal. I know that you're having a lot of problems saying these words to me. This is a movie. We're having fun. I'm having as much fun as you are just listening to you talk." He said, "You say anything you want to me that you don't want to. If you want to make up stuff, throw that out there to me too, and I'll laugh inside with you." And I said, "Golly, boy, that's thank you. Thank you very much." We started back to the scene, and he said, "But listen here, after they say cut, you don't say anything like that."
Absolutely. We're joined right now by Burton Gilliam. He is one of the stars of the movie Blazing Saddles, currently lives in the DFW area. I'm curious, Burton, because Cleavon Little did a great job as Sheriff Bart, but Richard Pryor, he helped write the movie, and originally he was scheduled to play the role of the sheriff. While it's easy to say that Richard Pryor would have done as good, if not a better job in that movie, I feel like Cleavon Little was the perfect guy for that role. How do you feel about that?
You know, and like everybody else, I would have liked to have seen what Richard would have brought to the film. But golly, when you look and you see the trail we blazed in the thing, and Cleavon did such a wonderful job in a different way than I know that Richard would have done it. But I'm just real happy with the way it turned out. But of course, I would have liked to see how Richard would have done the thing.
Now, was Richard on the set at all during the making of the movie?
He came every day for about a week.
Okay.
In making movies, there are a number of times when the lead person or some of the lead people will not really pan out. And after a week or so, those people are gone. They get fired. I mean, I've seen this happen a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard kind of hung around just to see what was going on. And after about a week, I think he thought, well, this is not, you know, I'm out of here. So he was out of there. I didn't see him again until we had the world premiere.
Hmm. Burton, you mentioned how much fun you guys were all having on set making this movie, and that it was one of Mel Brooks's first forays into the movie business. But, you know, you personally, what was it like working for Mel Brooks? I mean, he turned out to be, you know, the Mel Brooks, right? A legend in the movie making business. But what was it like? What was that opportunity like working with Mel on set?
I had never heard of Mel Brooks, and he's the one that called me and asked me to be in the picture, and I kept telling him no. I kept flying out to see him in Hollywood, telling him no. Third time out, I found out they had a lot of money. But I had done, about 4 months before that, I'd done a picture called Paper Moon, and I'd never been in a grade school play. I'd never done anything. But Peter Bogdanovich was the director of Paper Moon, and Peter worked in a way that he told everybody what to do, where to go. You know, you got to know your lines. That's part of the deal. But all the movements, Peter would say, okay, now you walk over here into this corner, you take a seat, or you rest on your elbow, and you kind of give a little knowing look with your eye. And so just different things. So I thought that's the way that all directors worked. I was wrong. I went on a day early, and I'm glad I did, to watch and see Blazing Saddles being made. And I found out right off the bat that Mel, he knows you've got another lens, and you got to make up everything else that goes with it. You go out there and you put it on, and the script said I danced and I sang and all that stuff. I had to make all of that up. I was going, what I was doing, the dance I did, yeah.
Did you enjoy that newfound freedom as an actor?
Yes, I did. It scared me at first because I didn't know enough about acting to really lean on that. But gosh, I found out that I could do that. I could do it very well, and I could do it without being told where to go and what to do. That's the freedom of being an actor. It's not about the words; it's about the acting.
No doubt about that. Burton Gilliam, one of the stars of the movie Blazing Saddles, nice enough to join us for a few minutes here. I have to ask you, Burton, I know the movie itself is almost 45 years old, but are you still in touch with Mel Brooks at all?
Yeah, I talk to Mel every 2 or 3 months. I hadn't talked to him now in a couple of months, but I talk to him all the time. There are only 3 of us left, so, and every time we lose one, Mel's on the phone calling everybody to let them know that we've lost someone. But gosh, I'm just so proud to be. I'm the youngest. It's Mel, the lady that played the school marm, who wrote the letter to the governor to get the chair. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she was great. She was actually married for many, many, many years, 40, 50 years, to Dom DeLuise. Now, there's a think about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Dom, of course, makes the appearance at the end of the movie as the director who tries to keep the fight from invading his set and was not successful in doing so.
You sissy Mary. Yes, right. Dom was absolutely great and became a good friend of mine. Everybody that knew Dom wanted to be his friend. He was just a fun guy. I loved Dom DeLuise.
How about that? Hey, Burton, I've got to ask you, man, what's your favorite scene from the movie, regardless of if you're involved or not, but you have a favorite scene that anytime you go back and watch just makes you laugh every single time?
Well, for one that I was involved in, the very first scene in the picture is, you know, it's my scene. And I love seeing that scene. If I know that Blazing Saddles is on, and Blazing Saddles is shown more times on television than any movie in history.
Wow.
Any of them.
How about that?
Anytime I know that a season it's on, I'll watch the first 15, 20 minutes of the picture because it really tells where the – it doesn't tell how the picture is going to get where it's going, but it tells that it's going to be something unusual, you know. And anytime you see it, you're going to always pick up something a little bit new in the picture.
Now, Burton, before you got into acting, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were a champion Golden Gloves boxer, correct?
I was that. I was. I had 217 fights, and I really didn't know it at the time, but I was really good. But I was really scared too. I mean, I really was. Every time I got in the ring, I'm just thinking, what am I doing here, you know? But the more afraid I was, the better I was.
Huh.
I found out that speed and fear are brothers. And I was both scared and I was fast and I could hit hard and I could throw good punches and I was always in great shape. So I could really fight.
Now, you fought during a golden era of boxing. Did you ever have any interactions with, say, a Muhammad Ali?
Oh, I knew Muhammad Ali for 50-something years. He and I won championships together in Chicago. And I saw him frequently because I was involved in boxing for about 50 years as a fighter and then as a referee. I refereed 11 world championship fights around the country. And so I would bump into him at different events every year or two. And he was always, he always liked to talk to me. And in his, you know, the last 20 years of his life, he didn't really say a whole lot because of his illness. But he liked just to sit there and he would say, "Do you remember so and so?" I'd say, "Sure, sure." I'd remind him of guys that he fought and knocked out, and he always remembered the time that I met him the first time in the National Golden Gloves at the St. Clair Hotel in an elevator. We're riding up in an elevator, and I said, "Hey, you're Cassius Clay, aren't you?"
Huh.
He said, "Yeah." And I had on this Texas jacket, and he said, whatever Henry's last name was, "He's your heavyweight, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, you tell him I'm going to knock him out if I fight him." "You can't knock this guy out. You may beat the heck out of him, but you can't knock him out." he knocked him out in the first round a couple of nights later.
Hey, Burton, boxing unfortunately is a shell of itself currently versus what it was when you were fighting. And even beyond that, what is boxing's biggest problem right now? And do you think that the sport is salvageable?
I don't think it's not going to beat out all of this stuff that's going on now. It's the you know, knock them down, beat them up, knock their eyes out, all of that crazy stuff. That's what people want to see. They really do want to see somebody get next killed or maybe killed. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think boxing is going to take a back seat to that kind of sport. And I think we've just seen the tip of it. I don't know. 10 years from now, boxing may not be anything at all. I can't name one world champion right now where I used to name them all.
Yeah, wow. How about that? Hey, Burton, to my understanding, you're still up in the DFW Metroplex. What are you up to these days besides knocking them dead with that smile? What else are you doing up there?
I do about 50 commercials every year. About 45 of them are car commercials, and I do a takeoff. Some of the people that are listening to this will know this. I do my Blazing Saddles character. I wear the same outfit, and I talk just the same. I don't say the same things. You can't do that trying to sell cars. But my commercials are always a takeoff of Blazing Saddles and always really very funny. But I'll do appearances all over the country. Oh, gosh. I'm going somewhere in New Jersey in a couple of weeks to do a signing thing where they're going to bring in 125 so-called celebrities from all kinds of acting and sports, those kind of things. And I'll be one of the 125, and I'll be one of the big guys there. I don't care who they got, you know?
Yeah.
I know that if I'm doing a signing and I get up and I sing the Camp Town Ladies and all that stuff, people are going to come running over there. They're going to say, hey, I want your autograph. I want some money.
That is great.
It's all fun.
Love it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if I'm not mistaken, one of your granddaughters is a champion gymnast. Is that true?
She was the world champion. Did not go to the Olympics. Right after she won the world championship at the Olympic trials, she hurt her back. That was in 2008, I guess it was. 2008, is that right? 2008. And she hurt her back, and it only knocked her out for a couple of weeks, but it was the wrong couple of weeks. And she didn't get to go to the Olympics, but she went all over the world and was the world champion in the parallel bars and got to go all over the country, all over the world, and my wife got to go, and my daughter got to go with her, and they went. They had wonderful times. And her husband, she is now, golly, she's 30 years old now, and she's been married about 3 years, and they've got a little girl. Her husband is still competing. He won in the last Olympics at Rio. He won the bronze in the pommel horse. Get that.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they're really involved and will always be involved in gymnastics. They both teach all over the country, and that's their life. That's what they're going to be doing forever. And they're good folks, good-looking folks.
Burton Gilliam, a longtime actor, also boxed for a number of years. His credits include everything from Back to the Future 3 to The Getaway to Honeymoon in Vegas to Fletch to the movie that we were primarily talking with him about today, Blazing Saddles. Burton, thank you so much for the time today. Really appreciate it. This was a great conversation. Hopefully we can have you on again at some point in the future,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much.
I hope so, too. All right. Listen, the next time I'm in Austin, I'm going to come by and see you guys.
Sir, I'm going to give you a call after the show, and I'll make sure you have my information to come do that. We would love to have you in studio.
We got to have you sing that song in person, Camptown Lady. We need it in person. All right, Burton?
Hey. Complete with music, complete with dancing, choreography. We'll get us about 8 guys to sing with us. Oh, this will be good.
Love it.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Burton, for the time, sir.
Okay, Adam and Trey, I enjoyed talking to you guys.
Take care,
Burton. Take care.